The Monty Show, Wednesday, August 29th, 2019. A lot of nines in there. I'm Monty. Hi, Jake.
Hello.
Hey, little buddy. I have a great story for you coming up later, because you are dating and you're out there in the world. Mm-hmm. New statistics about a brand new challenge for you young folks.
Okay.
Do I scare you?
No.
We also got to talk non-sports stuff today. How big is too big for your phone? Notice the pause. Cadillac absolutely had my heart palpitating today with some news they released. We have to talk about JD Martinez. Oh, JD. Here's a new rule. New rule. You cannot ever reference Hitler and American, like, constitutional rights and stuff. So we got to talk about JD Martinez. There's a new solution to, quote unquote, fix baseball. And of course, Aaron Rodgers got paid today, which is where we will start. You should start at themontyshow.com. M-O-N-T-Y, themontyshow.com. You can find this show anywhere you get your podcasts, Stitcher, iTunes, certainly iHeartRadio. Everywhere we are there, The Monty Show. M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show. Aaron Rodgers, he got paid. If I say to you, hey, in the next 8 months, I'm going to give you $80 million. What's the first thing you're doing?
I mean, just from a self-control standpoint, we're going to have to lock away half of that. You know, we're just going to have to lock away half of that in an interest accruing account and just call it a day.
Okay, hard knocks.
And just, I don't know, probably line a car.
They're going to pay him $80 million in the next 8 months, $67 million before the end of the season. He'll get $13 million more before spring. His average annual compensation is $29.33 million a year. His maximum take-home could be $180 million. He's guaranteed $103. These numbers are ridiculous. And I'm just telling you, I don't care who it is, he's not worth it. Because when you're paying your quarterback $29.3 million, you're not winning.
Yeah. And this is the Tom Brady thought of life, right? Like, Tom's always been the guy who's taken less to try and win. I mean, I guess we agree with Tom on this one. Like, I think you're right. But at the same time, Aaron Rodgers should be at the top of pay. Yeah. And I think this is the league moving up in money, you know? And this just furthers that conversation of quarterbacks get money and defensive ends and, you know, linemen don't. Like,
but
you know,
the stat is that Von Miller's the highest paid defensive player, and Aaron Rodgers is making 43% more than Von Miller.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And I guess I get it. That's the way of life. I mean, the big dog's got to eat. Okay, great. Aaron Rodgers threw 40 touchdowns 2 years ago. Great. You want to say he's the best quarterback in the league? I'm going to disagree with you.
Well, who's the more influential player on the field in a game?
Well, sure, and I understand why there's a thing called quarterback money. Don't get me wrong. I totally am. I'm down with that. But what I'm saying is that it's really difficult for me to say, okay, well, we're going to pay one guy on the football team $29.33 million a year for 6 years. Oh, and by the way, the expectation is that we're going to win a Super Bowl? Because that's not going to happen.
Uh-huh.
You know, by the way, who's the second-best offensive player on the Packers? I don't know either. The point is, this team needs, on a regular basis, upgrades. They always find themselves through injury, through attrition. Jordy Nelson's not there anymore. They still have not replaced a guy like think about Greg Jennings in his prime.
Yeah.
You know, like you go through tight ends, you go through,
it's Aaron Rodgers and everybody else. I mean, that's what it is.
And the real issue here, Jake, is defensively, they have good players, but they're not an elite defensive team. How many times are we going to hear Packer fans complaining about the fact that they can't cover, or they don't get a big turnover, or they can't get off the field on third down?
Yeah. No,
I mean, there's a lot to that. In general, and this is really my point, I guess, when you have a guy like Tom Brady who's willing to take a discount every single year, it's no coincidence that Tom Terrific winds up in the Super Bowl and Aaron Rodgers winds up at home.
Yep.
It's no coincidence that when you pay a quarterback a ton of money and Andrew Luck, they get hurt. Quarterbacks get hurt often. We talked about this the other day when we had our epic debate on TB12. Very few quarterbacks. Tom Brady comes to mind.
Matt Ryan.
Again, Matt Ryan. Drew Brees plays a lot of games. Phil Rivers plays a lot of games. But there's very few quarterbacks who can play 16 games. Aaron does it, but he's always limping around. He's always got a
thumb.
He's
always beat up, yeah, for
always.
Sure. I think the question at the end of the day, man, is would you rather lose Aaron Rodgers by not signing him a big deal, or would you rather keep him and not be very good? That's really what you're facing. I mean, yeah. Right? Because you're either going to pay the guy just this huge amount of money, and then you're not going to be able to, you know, have enough money for the rest of your roster, or you're going to lose the guy and you're going to, you know, build a complete roster with just an okay quarterback.
But is Jordy Nelson not here in Green Bay? Is he not in Green Bay because Aaron Rodgers had this contract coming? Because I think I could make that argument.
I mean, yeah, I'm sure you could.
Now, if Jordy winds up blowing up again this year out in the AFC, I think a lot of Packer fans are going to be scratching their head. And the other question is, what are you going to do with, you know, guys like Jimmy Graham, who I think is fascinating? He should really be able to help. He should be a guy that should go to Green Bay and be a consistent target. But was he a consistent target in Seattle, a team that knows how to use a tight end? That was a problem. Martellus Bennett was a problem. He's not there anymore. Jimmy Graham needs to be an upgrade, and they need him to perform because you don't have a ton of cap space now to go out and replace guys.
Yeah.
I just think that this is a mistake. And I hope everybody in Green Bay realizes this. That defense could not step up and be what they needed without Aaron Rodgers. Because remember, they were 4-1 before he got hurt. He goes out, and that defense can't stabilize. That defense can't get a big turnover.
Yep.
Are they different this year? I don't know if they're different this year.
But what we do know is they would be in a hell of a better situation if they have more money to work with. And look, I think at the end of the day, he's going to be a lifetime Packer. And should he be a lifetime Packer? Yeah, probably. Probably. You know, they've always had somebody, you know, at the helm in Green Bay. You know, it's been Favre. Now it's Aaron Rodgers. Like, they've always had guys.
Well, when you draft that many corners and you commit to defense and you want to play this hybrid 3-4-4-3 thing that they love to talk about this summer, they better win. Because if you pay Aaron Rodgers all that money and you don't win another Super Bowl, or if he gets hurt, well, because his style, what
but
did
that's
you,
the risk you take. That's
what did
the
you say the other day?
Because he rolls a lot. He rolls a ton, and he's out there. By the way, should be said, he is an elite thrower on the run.
Are linebackers getting slower?
No, they're not.
Are they getting weaker?
They're getting faster and
Are they getting smaller?
Nope.
No, they're not.
Nope. They're getting bigger, faster, and stronger.
And by the way, you have defensive linemen that run like linebackers now.
Yeah, I mean, linebackers are essentially playing defensive end at this point. I mean, that's what we're talking about. So that's what I'm saying.
Good
luck. I think they had to do it. I don't feel like they had a choice. You're not telling – Aaron Rodgers is one of those guys. You're not telling him no. He has to be the one that says, hey, I'll take less so we can win. That has to come from his side.
I think you need your quarterback to be under $20 million.
If I'm Aaron Rodgers, hell yeah, I'm pushing for that money. Hell yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
See, and I guess this is...
From the personal side, like, put yourself in his shoes. What would you be doing? Like, you know, are you going to take the Tom Brady route and try to be a legacy guy? And
you know, I want to win.
Exactly, but he's still going to make a ton of money. So I guess at the end of the day, it's like, how much money do you really need to make?
That's the question. How much do you need? And how much is too much when you want to talk about winning? Peyton Manning made a ton of money. I think he was somewhere around $250 million. Now, he won two Super Bowls. Okay, that's great. But the guy paid an ultimate price, and the Colts still haven't recovered from it.
Yeah.
In my opinion. You look at a guy like, well, Eli Manning comes to mind. $200 million guy. Two Super Bowls, right?
But great moments.
Great
All
moments.
All-time great moments.
Great moments. But I'm also looking at Tom Brady, who's made $197 million. He's made $50+ million. What is that? $54 million less than Peyton Manning. Five Super Bowls.
Yeah.
Four Super Bowl MVPs. Three NFL MVPs.
So it begs the question.
488 touchdowns thrown.
By the way, he's getting that Under Armour money. By the way, he's got, you know, I know for a fact he's got, you know, other things he's doing.
Yeah.
This is the LeBron theory of life. This is the Kobe theory of life.
Yeah.
You know? It's the body armor thing with Kobe. It's the Jordan theory of life with shoes. Like, these guys, the guys who understand that if you're going to live off your athlete money, your sport money for the rest of your life, you're probably not doing it right. You know, you need to take that money and make it grow. And if you can do that, you're going to win a lot. And you're going to be an all-time great.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I look at hugely paid quarterbacks. I'm looking at guys like
Matthew Stafford needs a huge contract.
$27 million bucks a season. Detroit's not close to winning a Super Bowl.
No, I wouldn't even say they're close to being a team of conversation at this point. Like, they're not there.
Of consequence.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's the thing that really bothers. And I'm not trying to be redundant. If you're going to pay a guy all that money, you better win a Super Bowl. And they're not.
You could say that that goes both ways, though, doesn't it? If you're not going to pay him, you better win. Because at some point, he has to get paid.
Yeah, well, that might be true. Dude, I don't know. I look at a guy like Matt Ryan's making, what, $30 million a year? That's a really good football team. Are they a Super Bowl caliber team? But they lost.
For sure. Oh, they're a Super Bowl caliber team.
Brand new stadium.
They're a Super Bowl caliber team. They lost, though.
Look at Kirk. What is Kirk Cousins making? The guy you drafted in your fantasy league last night took
heat for it too.
Yeah, well, you also got Kyle Rudolph, which I thought was a really good pick by you.
Anyway.
But Kirk Cousins making $28 million a year.
Yeah.
Not to be a Washington Redskin.
Not to be a Jet.
To be a Washington Redskin. Not to be a New York Jet. Not to be an Arizona Cardinal. Not to be anybody but a Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah.
And they're probably going to win the division.
Yeah.
So you're going to pay Aaron Rodgers a heck of a lot more, which is $29.33 a year. You're going to hand him $80 million bucks by the time we're at 2019, and I think the Vikings probably win the division.
Yeah.
I look at Jimmy Garoppolo out in San Francisco. Jimmy Garoppolo is making $27.5 million, not a Super Bowl team. Stafford,
Jimmy,
27,
like
not
making,
a Super
like how,
Bowl team.
That's the guy that stands out to me. How is Jimmy Garoppolo making that much money?
Because that's what it took to get him out of New England.
Well,
look at Derek Carr. Derek Carr signed a huge extension, $25 million a year.
To them. Derek Carr's worth it. To
not
them.
Winning a Super Bowl, they're going to lose.
That's not all on him.
But
though.
Maybe Derek Carr's a perfect example, because what's the big story in Oakland right now?
Mm-hmm.
Khalil Mack. Are we going to pay Khalil Mack? Which, by the way, I don't think you should pay Khalil Mack, because I don't think Khalil Mack is irreplaceable. His production, I don't think he's Von Miller, right? I wouldn't pay him that. But I wouldn't have paid Derek Carr $25 million either.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't understand, you know, when if you want to say Drew Brees might be, and Tom is in this too, but he's got five rings, but Drew Brees might be that quarterback that's worth more than what happens inside the Superdome.
For sure.
Because of how ingrained in that community is and what he means to them and all of that. But he's about the only one. Because I'm also the guy who says you don't pay Joe Flacco after he wins that Super Bowl.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say.
Andrew Luck making 24.
Bro, these guys are getting paid for what they did already, and this is how it works in sports. You get paid for what you did, not what you're going to do. And I've always had a problem with that. Look at the NBA. Look at Major League Baseball. Look at the Darvish signing for the Cubs.
Oh,
got
man.
Paid for what he did,
Why
not
do you
what
have
he
to bring
did.
That up?
I'm just saying, like, it's one of those kind of contracts. You look at the Josh Hamilton contract, the Pujols contract. Like, you know, you look at the NBA contracts. Like, they're getting paid for what they did.
But I also look at Tom Brady. $20 million bucks. $20.5 million. And they're likely going to be contending for a Super Bowl.
That's a nice... $20 million a year is a nice number.
Yeah, Sam Bradford.
For both sides.
Sam Bradford's making $20 million a year. I think Ryan Tannehill's right around $20 million a year. You know, but Odell Beckham Jr., not worth the money he got. Sorry, man. He's not. I would rather have Philip Rivers. I'd rather have, you know, I'm not an Eli Manning guy, but he's won you two Super Bowls.
Yep.
Yeah, I understand why you have to pay him. Ben Roethlisberger's worth $22 million bucks. He's somewhere around there. Anyway, point is, holy crap, Aaron Rodgers got paid. That's a lot of money. And, and as a fan of Mitchell Trubisky, if Mitchell says that he needs...
Hall of Fame 2031.
If he needs $29 million a year, I say, what the hell? Cut his ass, because he's never going to be Aaron Rodgers.
Thank you.
Right? Like, Mitchell's never getting there. He's not. Let's switch gears and talk a little baseball. A lot of baseball, let's be honest. There's so many topics today that are frustrating. Fixing baseball, JD Martinez and Hitler, or Joe Maddon?
Let's go in that order.
Okay. Fixing baseball. This is a ridiculous conversation, by the way.
So I get why the nerds have to come out of the woodwork and say that their sabermetrics are going to fix baseball.
Nerd.
But I don't understand, again, and I'm with you on this 100%. It's like,
you just said
it's
nerd.
Like, hey, nerds, go back to the classroom and do some more math. I want to watch a ball game. I want to have my beer and have my peanuts and enjoy my time.
Here's the thing. The Wall Street Journal went out of its way to get cray-cray.
Well, you knew this was going to stir the pot.
And, yeah, you knew that. And they had a couple of nerds look at ways to fix baseball. And this is really frustrating for me. I'm just being completely honest with you. It's a game theorist and a computer scientist took the time to look at baseball, and they said that if you want to fix baseball, you need to institute, quote-unquote, the catch-up rule. When a game is tied at zero or tied at any score, baseball is played exactly as it is, three outs per side. But when the at-bat club has or takes the lead, it gets two outs instead of three. That's a terrible idea.
Why?
Because you know what?
All and this in an is, effort to cut down the game.
This is what it is. Okay, you think baseball's too long. You are bored with baseball, and you think baseball needs you to fix it. Don't watch. If baseball's too long and too boring, don't watch. If you want more runs and you think offenses are broken, don't watch. But please don't tell me how to fix the game that I love. Don't tell me today watching, you know, Lucchese and Urias for the Padres. I mean, that's, to me, what's going on in San Diego isn't because San Diego's some crappy organization, right? As a diehard Cub fan, you know, when I'm watching in Chicago, another dominant August by Joe Maddon and the Cubs, which we're going to talk about in a minute, that's great baseball, even though they lost to the Mets today. Baseball doesn't need you to fix it. You can't change the fundamental fabric of the game because you're bored and it takes too long, right? Like, I just don't need your automatic strike zones.
Yeah.
You know, I don't understand this. I don't get it. So if you want to take an out away from every team, because they say if you do this catch-up rule, it'll save 24 minutes a game, and it will cut the margin of victory in each game by over a run. Since when has margin of victory been an issue? When you're trying to score fewer runs. Isn't everybody bitching about baseball being boring because of the shift and we need more offense and the pitchers are taking over and now all of a sudden we need to cut offense and margin of victory?
Yeah.
No, kiss my ass. We're not doing
thing,
that.
I mean, I think the whole basis for this, you know, catch-up rule is they want to shorten the game. That's what they want to do. They want to make it so that we still play nine, but we do it in an hour instead of three.
The phrase pace of play should be banned from Major League Baseball parks. Like, it's just... it's nonsensical. The shift discussion, if you truly think that you need to change or outlaw the shift, okay, I can get down with that. The shift is hurting offenses in baseball. Maybe we can talk about some way to do that or, okay, fine. Baseball people are too smart. They're always going to find a way to get around. They're always going to, they're always going to find ways to make these things happen, to find strategy, to find little angles and avenues.
Yeah.
Because that's what they're paid to do. They're paid to win.
Yes.
So outlaw the shift, but we're going to find something else. Because that's what great strategists do.
Yeah.
Okay? Speaking of great strategists, I am not a hater of Joe Maddon's. Okay? As a Cub fan, I'm not a hater of Joe Maddon. I don't like the way he tinkers and plays sometimes, but as somebody that's been watching this team all 45 years of my life, I appreciate what happened in 2015 and 16.
Yeah.
I appreciate where we are in 2018 and going to be in 2019 when in the last year of his contract. So when a guy like Bob Nightingale for the USA Today writes a story where he says that Joe Maddon will be fired by the Cubs if they do not make a deep playoff run this year, I just say to myself, hey, man, have you watched any baseball at all this season? Do you have any idea what's going on with the Cubs? Have you heard about Yu Darvish, who's pitched. I think he's made eight starts for the Cubs or four starts for the Cubs.
I just think it's kind of a. I agree with you. It's almost like one of those stories where you're just like, man, you really just don't. You're not educated on what they're doing. You're not. You haven't paid attention. You're not informed. You know. You're not taking into account the fact that Yu Darvish is out and he's had to handle this bullpen that's been, you know, not great, but then been really good. Like, it's been up and down, and he's had to put all these fires out, yet they're still leading the division, yet they still are way on top of the NL. And I'm just sitting here saying, why would you fire a guy like that?
If you're pissed at Joe Mann, why are you not talking about Theo Epstein?
Yeah, well, that's a different discussion, I think.
But I don't think it is, actually. Because if you're pissed at Joe Madden for losing games or not making a deep playoff run, why did Theo Epstein make another huge pitching mistake with Yu Darvish? Why is Theo Epstein having to go out at the trade deadline and in really in August and get a lefty that everybody else thought was a broken down barnacle? Now, granted, Cole Hamels has pitched really well for us, but that was a desperation move. Why are you not addressing your bullpen? Why is Pedro Strop your closer right now? Because Brandon Morrow's hurt. Because, I mean, there's all of these moves that were made, and Joe Madden has been left to play kind of chess with these guys. What happens if David Bodie doesn't come up? If David Bodie doesn't hit a walk-off slam on Players Weekend, what happens?
Yeah.
This is a different conversation.
Yeah.
You just beat Jacob deGrom and Noah Syndergaard back-to-back. You just did that. You took two or three from the Mets. You won another series. You're in control of the division once again. Why are you talking about firing Joe Madden? Now, granted, it's a mediocre National League, right?
Doesn't matter.
He has the best record in the National League, and he consistently, year in and year out, has one of the best records in August.
Finishes strong. There's no question about it. And this is what I say. Like, I wouldn't even put too much stock into this, like, into this article, because I feel like it's one of those things where now is not the time of the year where you talk about contract extensions.
Not for the manager.
No, like, not at all. Like, you shouldn't be focused on your contract at this time of year. You're in August, man. You're in a pennant race. Like, you're trying to win the NL. You're trying to win your division. Like, you're trying to do great things. And you just, now we're talking about firing people? Like, what is that about? I really don't understand that.
I think it is because the pressure cooker and the time of year that we find ourselves in, you know? And I think it's one of those things where we consistently have to now raise the bar as Cub fans, because I think we're all so scared that we're going to fall back off the cliff and wind up back in 1989, 1994, 1998, 2003, where you're just close, but you're not really close at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, that's not what anybody wants this team or this organization to be. But frankly, I think some of this is Joe Madden's fault, too, by the way, because of the cornball, you know, road trips where we dress up in costumes and, you know, the just all the weird stuff he likes to do. Who started the trend of batting the pitcher eighth? Joe Madden did. And it works for us. It works for the Cubs, you know, but he is a quirky guy. He's not everybody's cup of tea. Let's put it that way. So, and then there's J.D. Martinez. And I don't even know what to make of this. J.D. Martinez is having an MVP caliber season. And then it comes out that several years ago, J.D. Martinez put out a tweet, or actually I think it was an Instagram post, excuse me.
2013 on Instagram.
Yeah, he puts an Instagram post out referencing a Hitler quote, where it talks about defeating, and I'm not even going to read the quote, it's so moronic, but it basically said, to overthrow a country, you got to take their guns away from their citizens. And it was a picture of Hitler. Hitler never said that. So now you have J.D. Martinez using this as a way to jump off and be a Second Amendment advocate and a proud gun owner.
Right.
And I just would like to say, if you need to reference Adolf Hitler to make your point, you probably should not be speaking.
Yeah.
Because this controversy is about the last thing that the Boston Red Sox need. Because frankly, they're in some discomfort right now.
Yeah.
The Yankees lost to the White Sox again today. So it's not as though the division's in doubt, but David Price got knocked out of the game tonight with a line drive off his wrist. That's a problem because he's been their second best pitcher. Oh, by the way, their first best pitcher, Chris Sale, he's on the disabled list. So they're in some distress.
Yeah.
So the last thing they need is to be talking about J.D. Martinez's affection for Adolf Hitler quotes.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, in this day and age, do we really need athletes saying the wrong thing by quoting Adolf Hitler? Especially when you have a shut up and dribble movement like LeBron James, who debuted The Shop last night on HBO after Hard Knocks. We watched it together. Did you like it?
Loved it. I thought it was good. I found myself just wanting more. I feel like an hour would be too long,
too
but
long.
I want more than 30 minutes. I would love a little bit more, but I get it. I understand it. I thought the conversation was solid. I thought, you know, John Stewart being in there, I really felt like he did a great job steering the conversation and kind of keeping it a little bit organized so it wasn't just like a round table, like mosh pit of random comments. But I thought it was cool that what Draymond said about, you know, LeBron needing to really come into that figure, like, I am the best, like, really
I'm the best
LeBron.
Baller in the world, yeah.
Yeah, you know, I thought that was really cool.
Some of it was awkward. Draymond really didn't say that much. Or at least the way it was cut and edited. Draymond didn't say that much. Michael Bennett almost said nothing. Odell Beckham Jr. really didn't say much. You know, I thought John Stewart was really good. Snoop Dogg was really good.
Excellent.
Candace Parker was really good.
Yep.
Like, there was a lot of good. I thought LeBron said some really thoughtful things. And I think the quote about, you know, naming his son after him, I thought that was really powerful.
I'm sorry.
What do you say to your kid, though, like living up to you being their dad, and they're playing the same sport that you played better than anyone else in the world has ever played it? How do you give them a peace of mind that they don't have to be you?
I still regret giving my 14-year-old my name because of that.
Right.
Like, when I was younger, obviously, I didn't have a dad. So my whole thing was like, whenever I have a kid, not only is he going to be a junior, I'm going to do everything that this man didn't do.
Right.
Mm-hmm. They're going to experience things that I didn't experience. The only thing I can do is give them the blueprint, and it's up to them to take their own course whenever that time happens.
I mean, that is powerful stuff. LeBron talking about not wanting to give his son his name if he could go back and do it again and how he didn't have a dad. Like, I mean, that's a conversation that you're not going to hear anywhere else but with LeBron James and his production company.
Yeah.
I think that's why guys like J.D. Martinez misquoting and attributing quotes to Adolf Hitler ever is, you just can't do that because it knocks LeBron.
I mean, it knocks
every guy who speaks intelligently down a rung.
Bro, I don't even think he misquoted. I think he just came off stupid. Like, The guy never said that, bro. Like,
yeah,
you can't, like,
exactly.
Misquoting it would be kind of like phrasing it wrong.
Yeah, moving the words around or something.
That's
yeah.
not misquoting it. That's, you're an idiot. You're using a quote that the guy never even spoke. And I get that.
And by
you
the
were
way, he
to,
is one of the most horrendous
yeah,
human beings,
you know,
to ever
and,
walk the earth.
So the idea, and JD's explanation was that, you know, the country I came from, there were horrible things that happened, and that was 2013.
Cuba.
It was 6 years ago. Like, you know, I get it. I thought he handled it well with the press, but I just still think you're exactly right. If you got to use Hitler to make your point, you're in a bad place.
It's probably
place.
A bad point.
You're in a bad place.
It's probably a bad point. But how important is it? And I'm trying to be delicate. And they talked about this on the show last night too. But as black men, I think it's really important that you're educated. Like, I mean, this thing in Florida last night where you have. You know, a black man upsets, you know, in an election race in Florida, and, you know, his next opponent in the general election now is referencing monkeys in an interview on Fox News in relation to this black man winning in an upset. Like, I think it's a really important time for strong black men in our country to step forward. And this isn't something where I'm talking about Donald Trump, he hates black men and Mexican. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is when you have our culture where it is now, I think you need black men to be strong, to be role models, because it's very easy to find yourself just counting your money. to it would be very easy for LeBron James to just sit back and cash his checks. This is the Tiger Woods conversation on the show yesterday. If you missed it, it's on themontyshow.com.
I was going to bring that up because I feel like this is exactly why people are upset with Tiger. Now, I'm not trying to get back into that discussion, but what I am
No, but I think it's an important discussion.
It's because it's relevant, and I think Tiger is that guy, but he is just counting his money. He is just hanging out
but
with
But why is he not saying anything? And this is how I'll wrap this up. If Tiger Woods speaks, because Stephen A., for those of you who missed it, not to be redundant, Stephen A. Smith said that Black America is angry with Tiger Woods because Tiger's not speaking out against Donald Trump. In fact, he's playing golf with Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And they're friends. And my point is, if Tiger Woods bows to that pressure and starts talking about social issues that he's not truly passionate about, that are not in his heart, he will make a J.D. Martinez-type mistake. He will say something that's wrong. And it will do more damage than it does good. When a guy like LeBron James opens a school and does not do a big publicity tour to talk about it, opens a school where not only is it a school, kids don't pay tuition. Not only do they not...
I mean, it's the essence of a fall ride.
Right, but they're not paying tuition to go to this charter school, and they're not going to have to pay college tuition because LeBron's taking care of that, or his foundation is. He's buying them bicycles to make sure they can get to school. When you go to that school, you get food for free. They have a food bank at the school, so you drop your kid off. He's doing everything right. He's the power. Tiger Woods may be a damn fine golfer, but I don't really care what he has to say about politics because he doesn't want to talk about it. And if he's not passionate about it, I don't want to hear it. That's my point. And by the way, I really hope that this stops being a black man conversation and starts being an American conversation. Because if you think about, like we've talked about Mike Trout on this show. Mike Trout is not a passionate public speaker.
He's a nobody.
He's a nobody. But what if he was a passionate public speaker? Who's the baseball guy that's talking about politics?
Couldn't name one.
You can't name one. You can't, because they don't. And then J.D. Martinez winds up in this Hitler conversation. So it damages baseball, in my opinion. A sport that we just said people think needs fixing. You know, if you have a guy, what if you have a guy like who's the best player in baseball? Aaron
Judge.
It would
be
Mike
nice
Stanton.
If it was Bryce.
Giancarlo, Bryce Harper, never going to be that guy. That's just not in his DNA. He's not going to come out and rip the president. Not going to happen. Chris Bryant is never going to be that guy. I could see Anthony Rizzo, you know, had the tragedy at Stoneman Douglas, his high school in Florida. He was a big guy out front and leading speeches and meetings and community things, and I could see Riz doing that, but Anthony Rizzo is not a big name, I don't think, outside of Chicago. I really don't. Is Anthony Rizzo somebody that in Los Angeles, Seattle? Probably not.
I think in the baseball world he is, but I don't. In the general public, I mean, probably not.
And this is something else about sports. Like, hockey doesn't have a global superstar.
No.
So who are the global superstars? It's guys in football and basketball. And really, I think it's basketball.
Yeah, it is.
And I think it could be soccer. But the language barrier, I think, hurts a lot of those people.
Yeah.
Right?
And so, the MLS just doesn't matter enough here to really make a difference.
No offense, you know, but Zlatan is a huge star. And it's cool that he's calling LA Galaxy season ticket holders. I watched that video on repeat today. But you don't have a star in MLS that's big enough to do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's why LeBron has to do it. It's why Kobe has to do it. How unfortunate is it that when you look at some of these guys, they're just not interested in it? Like, look at that show last night. Michael Bennett's one of the biggest anthem protest guys, and he wants to be out in front on societal change. He didn't say two words on that show last night.
Yeah, very little.
Yeah, I mean, that's why when you get your shot, you can't side with Adolf Hitler memes. Like, you can't do that. You cannot do that. Anyway, I think it's hugely important that baseball find a superstar. I think hugely, that's why the Aaron Judge thing, him being out, is a real bummer. Giancarlo Stanton's having a great year, but what's Giancarlo Stanton think about the president or gun control or, you know, Russia? I don't know. Yeah. And really, I don't know that I care what he thinks because he doesn't want to tell me.
Yeah.
Anyway, I could be redundant about it. Are the Red Sox in trouble?
Not yet. Not yet.
It's a little tighter than I think you'd like because of the pitching, but now it's 7.5 games because the Yankees are...
If it gets to 5, they're in trouble.
The Yankees continue to not be able to beat the Chicago White Sox, which I think the White Sox are the worst team in baseball on some nights. Like, even their young players see... Now, the White Sox are an interesting case study because their young players are not performing. And then you have a team like the San Diego Padres. I don't know how much more excited I could be about the Padres. I don't. What we've seen the last 2 days out of this ball club, number one, it's got this town absolutely lit up. Like, I mean, Padre fans for the first time in a long time have guys that they can put their arms around and hang on to. Like Nix, Lucchese, Urias, even Renfro now has really picked up his performance. They have guys that they are now married to. Urias today, I mean, he did everything you needed him to do. You know, he's played stellar defense. You know, the double down the line, the whole ballpark stood up and was excited.
They've just been waiting for these guys to come up for a long time. And so I think naturally, you're going to be excited about it. But there's going to be a downturn again. And then once they figure out the league and they actually come into their own, it'll be good. You know, but I think... You know, Padre fans are a negative group. I would agree with that. So I think as soon as Urias goes an 0 for 20, it's going to be send him back down.
Well, you know? That's why I say enjoy it now because he's 3 for 5 today. Scores a run. You know, continues to play great defense. In the Lucchese thing, I'm more excited about the pitching than I am even about the savior Urias. And he is a savior and whatever you want to call him, great. Awesome. Nail that kid's feet down at second base for a decade. I love it. But he's going to be meaningless. If Lucchese doesn't pitch well consistently, he's meaningless. If you don't find a Nix, if you don't mix young pitchers in there that win you 12 to 15 games, because they have so much pitching in the pipeline, if you don't have a Padre rotation that has three guys winning 12 to 15 games a year for the next 5 to 7 years, you did something very wrong. Because guys, Lucchese was absolutely dominant against a team that hits really well.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice to see them performing. I agree. I mean, they should be good for quite some time. But I just think right now we're on the high. Right now everybody's high on the Padres, right? Like, hey, these guys came up. Like, you know, they're performing well. Like, this is great. I just would say just be careful once we get through the 29 games and we come back out the other side for next year and it gets real. And the fantasy's over. Vacation's over. It's time to play ball.
Yeah.
You know? Like, that's all I would say. Like, you just have to be careful with that as a fan because, you know, it's easy to get really high and then be disappointed when, you know, Urias hits, you know, 250 for 40 games and all of a sudden it's oh, God, he can't hit anymore. Hedges can't play defense because he missed a ball. Like, it's that kind of thing where I'm just like, man, everybody's high right now.
It's a 162-game season. I totally get what you're saying.
Yeah.
I totally get what you're saying. But by the way, I also think that NL West is going to be fire
next year.
It
should be good. The whole division will be good next year.
I think what's going on right now is awesome. I think this is going to be one of the best finishes in baseball because you have the Arizona Diamondbacks struggling to beat your San Francisco Giants.
As usual.
I mean, this is pretty amazing. They lost again last night. If you are a Diamondback or a Rocky fan, you should be terrified of the Dodgers. They're a game out.
Yeah,
and they're winning tonight.
Yeah, they're coming, but this is what I'm saying. You want to talk about firing Joe Maddon? Let's talk about Torey Lovello's competencies and how good he is at actually winning meaningful games. Because I don't care what you did the first 50 games, and this is what I said, and everybody said I was an idiot. They can be this great team and win the division by 50 games the first 50 games. That's great. Now we're actually in meaningful time. We're actually at a time when you need to win games to win the division. And the NL West, by the way, should be said, is one of the only divisions where these guys are actually going to win their division. They're not up by 25 games, you know, AL Central. You know, you're not up by a ton of games, Red Sox. Like, these guys actually have to win. And so it's crunch time now. And I always say, and this is what I said when they were in the wild card, the D-backs, makes me really freaking nervous. Really nervous because Greinke let you down. Is he going to let you down again? I don't know because he's actually been pretty good this year.
Yeah.
Corbin's been really good this year. But if the Dodgers go out and win that division, okay, now we got to have a conversation, D-backs fans.
Well, and all of a sudden, though, the Dodgers are red hot. You know, they won that 3-4 against the Giants and Mariners. They got swept by the Cardinals. Now, all of a sudden, they swept the Padres, and they're about to sweep Texas.
Yeah.
And it's like, good Lord,
you went
from
getting swept to being back up six games, you know?
Like, I don't know how to explain it. Like, I'm literally speechless about the Dodgers.
That's just baseball. Like, I think the Dodgers, at some point, you knew the Dodgers were going to get to that sixth gear. You knew it was coming.
And, but is that where they are?
Well, it's where they need to be if they're not. This is that time of year that we always talk about on the show. Yeah. This is the time of year where we separate, hey, we're the Dodgers, and we've been down between four and six games the whole year. We got Machado. We figured it out for the last 10 to 12 games, and now it's time to hit the burners.
But this is a team in L.A. that's is a plus 125 in differential, and they're in third place.
Yeah.
Behind a team, by the way, in Colorado that is not very good, and yet they're tied for first place. And this is... this division is going to be fascinating. I'm always going to say the Dodgers are going to win it because I think they just have so much talent. And I don't believe in the pitching staffs in Arizona.
I think the Rockies are going to be the gremlin of the division. They will ruin somebody's season for sure.
Yeah, well, we'll find out. I love that. I love the fact that Houston's really started to finally play better baseball.
I thought it was I saw the update come across my phone today that they walked off today. Yeah. And you know what crossed my mind? This is the win that ends the A's. That's the win that'll end the A's.
You think?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. The A's just did. I think the A's got hot. They were that team that got hot.
Yeah.
Everybody was at the top of the game. And
yeah.
And I think it's just too much with where their actual true natural ability is to believe that they can compete with a team that's just loaded with guys who popped out of the womb to play baseball.
Yeah.
I mean, because that's who the Houston Astros are, and you know, you boy, it's tough to when you're getting. I don't even know how to explain the fact that you're getting a guy in Tyler White hitting walk off home runs. I mean, he's a 200-pound, you know, nothing guy, and Houston pulls him up and he hits 10 bombs, including a walk off. Like that. That is just that's why the Houston Astros are so good. That's why they are so good. I don't know. Is baseball broken? That's why that story
but
really tweaked me, frankly.
I don't think it's broken. I think people who are football fans think it's broken. I think people who like hockey think baseball is broken. People who can't appreciate the nuances of the game think it's broken. And I'm just telling you, it's not broken. You got to actually watch the game and pay attention. Sorry, you can't be on Twitter the whole time to enjoy a baseball game. You know, like I'm sorry, like it's, but that's the world we live in. People want to be able to eat their chips and salsa, be on Twitter, and be able to look up for the big play. And that's
not
how
baseball
works.
No,
man.
I just want nachos and a baseball helmet.
Yeah, bro. Like that's,
you know what I'm saying.
That's it,
bruh. Can we talk about how big is too big, or do you want to talk about the dating story first?
No, how big is too big first?
Let's talk cell phones, because I think one of the more fascinating things is that the iPhone is going to come out in three more versions. And the only one I really want to talk about is going to be this 11 Plus that is going to be the largest screen on the mobile market.
Note he said screen, not phone.
Yeah, screen on the mobile market, 6.5 inches corner to corner. I really enjoyed my 7 Plus, and I had it for a while. But now I'm an iPhone 10 guy, and I actually really like the size of this phone. And before the show tonight, I was talking to my lovely wife, Mrs. Monty. And I was asking her, well, you know, hey, baby, when it's in the palm of your hand, how big is too big for a cell phone? And she made a really good point. She said, when it gets, you know, the size of a note or if it gets to this iPhone 11 that's 6.5 inches diagonally across the screen, you can't any longer comfortably use one thumb to use the phone.
Yeah.
And if it's not functional, it's awesome that that screen is so big, but if it's not functional, what good is it?
Yeah.
If you're dropping it on your face, laying in bed, because let's be honest, that's where we all use
our phones.
Everybody's
done it.
We've all done it.
Everybody.
If that's the case, what good is it? Like, I can't even, I put a pop socket on the back of my phone.
It's embarrassing.
It is. I am my testosterone level dropped the moment that I did that.
Yeah.
But anyway, the point is, I actually really like the size of the iPhone X.
Yeah.
The screen is dominant. It does everything I need it to do. I absolutely can use one thumb with it. I don't even need the pop socket, although I got to tell you, it's more comfortable than I thought it would be. But I actually like the size of this phone. I, for the first time, as a gadget guy who usually buys the new iPhone almost every time it comes out, I don't know that I'm going to run out to get the iPhone 11 on day one. I'm pretty sure I'm not going to be a pre-order guy on that.
Yeah, I'm happy with my phone. I have the 7S Plus. It's a great phone. Great phone. Like, I'm happy with the size of it, the performance. Like, it's solid, man. And the battery's awesome still. I'm well over 2 years of ownership on it now. Like, and by the way, this is coming from a 6S Plus that fell in, or no, it didn't fall. Actually, the headphone jack.
The headphone jack went bad.
And so the phone always thought I had headphones plugged in. And of course, that's not a warranty item because it's Apple and nothing's warranted. So I had to get a new phone.
But see, and that's part of the Apple conversation. Because Mrs. Monty is absolutely 100% not an Apple person. She will never go back. I beg her every day, let me get you an iPhone. Let me get you an iPhone. When she's bitching about her V30 Tronic absolute phaser stun mode phone, like, I'm like, let me get you. No, she won't even entertain it. Mm-hmm. We'll not do it, which is cool.
I think the real question is, if you're an Apple user, are you, when it comes to the computer, like a laptop, are you buying MacBook or are you buying something better? Because
I love my MacBook.
Well, I'm not hating on the MacBook. What I'm saying is that if you're an Apple person, you know, you've got your iPhone, you've got your iPad, does that mean you have to buy a MacBook? Or if you want your Windows, can you go out and buy some? Like, does that, you know, because let's be honest, Apple does a great job of being like full brand. Like, you can be an absolute all-in Apple person.
But they're also looking for brand integration, though.
Yeah.
And, well, you know, again, not to keep talking about my wife, but she has a Surface and swears up and down by that Surface and uses an LG V30 with it. I don't know that I would never use anything but a MacBook. I love it. I know how to use it. I know how to use all the apps. Like, I love it. I absolutely love it.
Well, for me, so, like, I have the iPad Pro, paid off, by the way, going to have it for a long time. Love it. I use Windows at work, Windows 10.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm just saying,
I
like Windows a lot. I like the way it functions. I love Outlook. Like, I love the platform.
That's such a young guy thing. You know, I don't miss Windows at all. You know, we're in two different generations, obviously.
Well, but why do you say it's a young guy thing? Because I wasn't really taking it there.
Because I just think it's one of those things where you, generationally speaking, I think you are tied to a computer. And you, as an Apple guy, it's odd that you are using Windows. But you're doing that because you're a big-time recruiter now. You actually have, like, an adult job.
It's not a choice.
But most people, especially, and I work in radio predominantly, so like everybody in media creation, 9 out of 10 of us use Mac. I haven't used a Windows computer in, 2009, 2010 maybe. Like, I bet you it's close to 8-10 years. I have not used a Windows computer. And I don't plan on doing it. You know, I can edit anything audio-wise, anything I need media creation-wise, anything I need,
well,
you know,
the Windows droiders out there will tell you the alternative is there.
Well, I'm sure it is. I'm sure it is. But as a professional, I choose Mac. And a lot of my fellow professionals, a lot of my colleagues use Mac exclusively. And there's a reason for that.
Yeah, I'm not disagreeing. I'm not sitting here saying I'm a Windows
guy.
It's just odd.
It's odd to hear a 24-year-old millennial talking about using Windows. That's like, it's odd enough that it struck me.
Yeah.
You know, so whatever. I love Apple. I don't have any problem with it. It's expensive, and it's almost a luxury brand at this point. You know, new iPhones are now $1,000. We were also talking about this. I don't know that I want to pay $1,000 for a mobile device anymore.
Yeah.
I think we're all going that way. As a gadget guy, I want the latest and greatest. And it's not a vanity thing for me. Like, I don't have an Apple Watch. My wife offered to buy me an Apple Watch for my birthday. I was like, nah, I'm an Ionic. I'm a Fitbit Ionic user. And I love it. I love it. But, man, when it comes to phones, I want that latest and greatest. Mm-hmm. But I can think of 100 other things I'd rather do with $1,000 than buy a new phone.
Right.
Oddly. Part of it would be a down payment on a new Cadillac.
Yeah.
You like, that's called a transition.
Great. That was really smooth, you know?
Yeah. So before we talk about dating as a millennial, let's talk about what Cadillac's planning to do with the CT.
Yeah, so the Cadillac has the CT6. It's their sports sedan. It's equivalent to a 5 Series for Beamer, E-Class for Benz. Like, yeah. That's what it's competing with. And typically, it's been a turbo six-cylinder. That's kind of what
it's been. It's been a step down
from those. Performance-wise, it's been a step down from the Germans.
Yeah, and as a guy that's a BMW 535 guy.
Nothing like it.
Nothing like it. And it's way better than the CT6.
Yeah, well, that kind of changed today because the CT6V, which is now, to be clear, this isn't like the CTS-V, that's their big boy performance. Yeah. This is like, you know how in BMW they do like M badging, you get nicer stuff. Yep, like, this is what this is. So they come out with the XTS-V or the CT6-V, and it's now a twin turbo V8, which I think is very smart by them, putting out 550 horsepower. I mean, that's Cadillac. That's what you want.
That's power, yeah.
You know, like, so I think it's smart. I mean, there's no price on it yet, but it's safe to say it'll be, you know, I would guess it'd be 80, 90 grand for the nicest one.
I can't see it under 60,000.
No chance.
Yeah, and especially when you're in a V8. Twin turbo, I think that's very difficult.
Yeah. And this car, the nicer one, will be competing with like an M5, the E-Class for Benz. So it's a nice car. Like, I mean, it's sweet, but I just can't get away from Beamer. I mean, that's my brand. Like, yeah, I love it.
And I'm a huge General Motors Cadillac guy. Like, I'm a huge Escalade guy. I'm a big fan of American cars. Boy, it'd be tough to pay that money and not get a BMW.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm probably a snob about it, having been a BMW guy. I would love to get back into a Beamer, but I also think that it's one of these things where you have to really be, and I'm struggling for the word, you have to really be thoughtful. When you're spending that kind of money on an automobile, you have to be very thoughtful with it because, you know, again, to talk about my wife, she hated driving my BMW. Because she was worried she was going to break it or she was going to hit a pothole. Or I was not at that point. I only got rid of my BMW because I was at 77,000 miles and the cost of ownership was going up. That's why I got out of it. But boy, you miss the way the seat holds you. You miss the hair trigger reaction of that twin turbo V6 in a 535. You have to really want it to spend that. I don't know that I would really want to spend that on a CT6. I think there's just too much above that.
Yeah.
On that, you know, at that level, there's too many things that are above that.
Yeah.
BMW certainly is there. I've gone away, when it comes to luxury vehicles, I've gone away from Mercedes-Benz. And I used to favor Mercedes, but once we got into the BMW buying experience, and Jake, for those of you who don't know, Jake and I essentially bought that car together. You found it. I bought it, but we went through that process of scouting and driving
obsessively
and
I think it took us months. 6 to 8 weeks.
It took months.
Was it longer than that?
Oh man, it was 3-4 months.
Yeah.
Yeah. We wound up, we started that in spring and wound up buying that car in the winter.
Yeah.
It was October. So it's just one of those things where having been through the process, I don't know that I can favor Mercedes-Benz over BMW. But then again, this is a Coke or Pepsi conversation.
It is.
There are very much Benz people and there are very much Beamer people. And both of those groups are not going to be Cadillac people.
Yeah. And that's the trouble.
Yeah. I think it's it's going to be a tough category for Cadillac to break into.
Yeah.
Now, just like it's been very difficult for BMW and especially Mercedes-Benz to break into, you know, that premium SUV that, you know, General Motors seemingly has cornered the market on. Yeah. I think it's going to be very difficult, but it's such a lucrative category because remember, again, Ford has stopped making the sedan.
Yeah.
They don't do that anymore. So you have a lot of people who are looking. But how many people are going to spend 65, 70 grand, 100 grand on a car?
I mean, that specific one is nice, but you're right. I mean, the people who can afford that is definitely a niche. But I don't know, man. I like the move for them. You know, putting that kind of power in a sedan is smart. We see them all the time out here. You know, or I do anyway. The CTSV is huge out here. You know, Corvettes are huge out here.
Yeah, yeah. It'll be. I love the car scene in Arizona. I do. You know. Anyway. I'm looking forward to that. Can we talk about dating?
Let's go ahead, in the age of the millennial. Get into it. So I know you've been looking forward to this all day. I can tell.
Well, I need an update on the you're engaged again.
Yeah, we're back together.
Why did you get back together? So Jake and his girlfriend had a bad 20 minutes, and Jake wound up breaking it up with her.
Yeah, took a week off, pretty much. That's what happened.
Why did you get back together?
Because this is what I said the last time we talked about it. It was an in-the-moment thing. We both realized that, and I think we both realized that it's still good. I mean, that's basically what it comes down to.
Are you ready to be with this girl for the rest of your life?
I don't know about that. I mean, I think that's a tough question.
But I think there's... I don't know that... Is that a tough question?
It is.
So... I don't know.
There's a lot that would have to happen for that to be answered.
Like what?
Like... spending more time together, like going on trips, like, you know, like doing those kind of things.
And when, okay, so if you guys go on a vacation together and you enjoy yourselves, you're gonna propose?
No.
No. I think it is, you will just know. In the end, you don't know yet.
Yeah.
Okay, and I'm good with that. But I'm also not good with dating nowadays. And well, yeah, I say this all the
savage,
time.
It's a savage proposition.
Yeah, I've been in a relationship with my wife for more than 20 years now.
Yeah.
Okay. CNN put out a story. You're sitting down, I take it. Rates of syphilis, gonorrhea, and chlamydia have climbed for the fourth consecutive year in the United States. This according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Last year, nearly... Again, you're sitting down, right? Nearly 2.3 million U.S. cases of those three STDs were diagnosed. 2.3 million people showed up with syphilis, gonorrhea, or chlamydia. Like, does that not, that doesn't impact you at all?
You asked me why I try to be exclusive.
I don't know that that matters.
Definitely matters.
I think I couldn't do it. Like, I don't know how. Well, I do know how, because you get to thinking with the wrong head, and I get it, right? But I don't know how it's not in your mind all the time. I mean, I just
that,
don't...
Like stats like that?
Yeah, or like or like sex feels dangerous.
It is dangerous.
It feels... It's absolutely dangerous. It feels dangerous to me. Like, I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you... Because abstinence just is not realistic.
My whole thing is... To me, and maybe I'm an a-hole for saying this, but that's something you earn. Like, that's a two-way street. You can't just, I think too many people, especially my age, but still, I think this applies to everybody on some level. You go out, you drink, and all of a sudden, hey, we're back at his place. You know, like, that's how it happens.
And you wind up on SVU.
Yeah,
I get it.
So for me, I'm just like, that's why you asked me, well, why aren't you out more? Like, why aren't you, why aren't you out at the bar doing... you know, millennial things or whatever you always say. Like, I'm just like, I don't need it in my life.
Yeah, but you're not a drinker. You're not a drug guy.
I'm three things. I'm a car guy, a worker, and, you know, a real estate person. That's what I am. I love my car. I want to do bad things to it that I shouldn't do. And, you know, that's kind of the life.
Yeah.
Like, it's simple. It's straightforward.
2.3 million cases is the highest number ever reported in this country.
Yeah, and it's just straight not being responsible.
By more than 200,000 cases.
And by the way, I'd just like to say, it absolutely, I don't disagree, or I do disagree with the idea that it's that you can't make that choice in the moment. I absolutely disagree
with
that. Like the guy, like, you know, you've heard for so long, like, oh, you know, be careful getting in the moment with the girl because you can't make the choice.
Oh, dude. Dude, I
disagree.
I think
you can, and I think you should know better.
I think the thing you, but the thing that you need to do is you need to talk about it ahead of time. The problem is there are so many one night stands going on. You know, you wind up hopping in the back of an Uber with a girl and you get out of there with something that you didn't get in there with. I mean, like, that's the way our society has turned to the point where this is an epidemic now. And I'm telling you that this is not 40 and 50 year olds that are winding up with this. You know, I mean, this is, it's an explosion. It is absolutely an explosion of,
yeah,
of STDs, man. We're going in the wrong direction.
Yeah, 100%.
So you think once you're in the moment.
No, I think first you can of all, stop. Oh, there's no doubt you can stop. There's no doubt.
Oh, man, no. I don't know about
there's
that.
There's no doubt. Before when you get back, like, let's say I'm taking a girl back to my place, I absolutely already know what I'm going to do. If I'm going to do
have
it or
you
not.
Talked about it?
No.
Why?
Because there's no need to talk about it. Why do we need to have a conversation around what's going to happen? I'm in absolute control of the situation. There's no need to have a conversation.
Oh my goodness. You're scaring the hell out of me. You are so naive. You are not in control. I'm telling you. And I can't convince you because you're very thick-skulled. Because you're a millennial and you have that millennial, like, foil hat around your brain that doesn't allow you to listen to your parents. But I'm telling you right now, there are situations where you absolutely cannot say no. You get into a thing and you're like, whoa, unless you've talked about it ahead of time. And this is the thing. If you're on your first or second date, and call me old-fashioned, if you're on your first or second date, should this even be a problem?
No.
It shouldn't be, but it is. Why are you being quiet now?
What do you want me to say? Okay. You're telling me I'm wrong. Like I don't
I'm not
think I'm
telling
wrong.
You you're wrong. I'm telling you. I'm not saying you're wrong. I disagree with you.
Okay. Well, again, riding the fence. It's the same thing. It's the exact same thing.
Oh, my goodness. Listen to this. For every sexually active woman in the United States under the age of 26, it is recommended that those women get tested for chlamydia.
Yeah.
Even if you don't have signs of it, they say you should get tested if you're under 26.
And you're sexually active.
Oh, my good gracious. Forget it. Like, there are not enough condoms in the world. In the world. And they're free. Like, you can go to Planned Parenthood or wherever your choice is.
They're not expensive either way.
Well, but... whatever. Okay, great. Go to Costco. Get them in bulk. I don't care.
Buy the pallet.
There's not enough. When they're recommending every sexually active woman under the age of 26 get tested for chlamydia, forget it. No thanks. Like, I don't know. You know. If you can't love yourself. Right, Jake? Do you enjoy dating? Do you enjoy talking? This is so awkward. Why are you being awkward?
It's not awkward for me. I'm just telling you. Like, that's just my perspective on it. It's not awkward for me on any level. I think I do it the smart way.
Okay.
The low-risk way, for sure.
All right. I'm just telling you. Wrap it up, like, twice. That's all I'm saying. Hey, make sure you find us online, themontyshow.com, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, Google Play, iTunes, wherever you get your podcast. You know, there's a stat out there that 49% of people who have never listened to a podcast say that it's too expensive to listen to a podcast. Hey, it's free. It costs you nothing. That's what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm saying. Say goodbye, Jake.
Goodbye, Jake.